head here on Friday. How many did that? Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I reckon at least 150 people come through. It was incredible. Just it's kept on coming. Dave and the team, Richard, thank you so much. It was just outstanding. Somebody just shared with me before, as they walked over the cross. So this cross that you see at the back there, it's got Perspex on the other side, I think it is. It has light bleeding out from underneath it, and you could walk over that as a reminder of what Christ has done for us, or for perhaps for somebody for the first time to physically act out what it might be to step into what Christ has done for us, and they said, man, that really got them. The moment that got me was having my feet washed and then washing other people's feet. Response. Shouldn't that be all of our responses to what Christ has done? Lord Jesus, wash all of me. Wash all of me. I love it. The Easter walkthrough, if you weren't able to come through, I really encourage you to do it next year. What it did, in one sense, it was a summary of what Christians call the gospel, the good news of Christ. That God came in the person of Jesus, lived and died as a human, Easter Friday, was buried for 3 days, and today, Sunday, Easter Sunday, was raised back to life, to live eternally with the Father and the Spirit. That this is a model of what awaits us, a hope of eternal, ongoing relationship with God, who didn't stay in heaven, but rather came and lived amongst our mess that you and I have made. And he showed us what faithfulness really looks like. Again, a God in an incredible twist of what we think a God would do, died for us so that we could have life. That's what Easter is all about. He has risen. Oh, you're good. All right. Yeah, it's still there. You're just a slow bunch. That's all right. It's all good. Jesus himself gives a testimony, or summary, sorry, of what his life was for. He shares it with a man who wants to understand what Jesus is doing and who Jesus is. I've preached on this before. Many of us know the beginning of the summary. It starts at John 3:16. But importantly, it carries on. Let's read it together. You find it in your Bibles at John 3:16, or hopefully you can pick that up on there. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly for what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Let's pray. Father God, ever since that day when Jesus rose from the grave, light overwhelming the tomb, raised by your love, everything changed. This morning we gather to remember what you have done. This morning we gather to read your words that tell us why you came, why you died, and what you call us to in light of this. Your words are as powerful today as when they were first spoken. In fact, now that we live on this side of the cross, knowing just how loaded these words were and all that you did for them to come true, we sit here gobsmacked, utterly amazed at the lengths you, our God, has gone to for us. Today as I speak, remind us of who you are. Remind us of who we are. Remind us of what you continue to do so that we can live for your glory. Amen. Well, I sent out an email this past week to everybody. So if you're visiting, give me your email. I'll add you to that and I'll spam you too. It was an invitation for people to share their encounter with Jesus. So we've just read an account of Nicodemus and how he encountered Jesus for the first time. Is anybody here who's encountered Jesus? Is there anybody here who would like to be able to share what Jesus did, how he talked to them, the impressions they received? Anybody at all? I've got a mic. Who would like to share this story? Ever been to a funeral? Remember at the funeral, there's that moment where you get to stand up and talk about the person that's died? Jesus has died. But he's alive again. And he's met some of you. Who'd like to share that story? Bless you, Martha. You can stand wherever you like.
But when I think about the story, I use the word first. I was in my first year at secondary school, first time away from home in my first Easter camp, and it was an amazing time. What I didn't realize was that also for the first time, I was a sinner. And that was a bit of a shock, because from the year dot, I'd been to church and Sunday school, and we lived in a Christian country, surely, so I was a Christian. But at that Easter camp, I discovered that God was very holy, and not just a God bless me God that I used to pray prayers to, but that he did something very special to save us from our sin. And so I was very broken, but also amazed by this wonderful, loving, graceful God and all that Jesus had done. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Marvin. Well, that's my message. Sounds like I don't have to speak. Anybody else? Yeah. Hi, I'm Lyndon. Nice to meet you.
Emma.
Who knows Emma here? There's a few faces. Emma's visiting. Hi, Emma.
I was raised in this church and saved here.
Wow.
And my parents immigrated to New Zealand when I was a baby, and they weren't Christians. And somebody said to them, if you want to meet the Kiwi people, you should join a church. So someone sowed that seed. And they came and bought a house in Browns Road, Manurewa. And the first church they went to was a Methodist church. It was full of very old people. And that kind of put a dampener on the idea of going to church, but God had a plan. And the house they bought was in between two Christian families. And what are the chances of that? Not very high. And so the dear man next door, Granddad Carter, we called him, he came here. And he said, come to Manurewa Baptist. It's full of young people, full of families, just like you. And so they came, and in less than a year, they were saved. They were really moved by the love of Christians and the preaching of Pastor Don Dixon. And they were saved and baptized. And I remember them being baptized here when I was 3 years old. Wow. Anyway, when I was a teenager, around the age of 15, I saw many people being baptized. And I was rebelling against God. I was thinking, what's the point of this show, this display? And I, you know, that feeling you're just resisting and rebelling. And one night I was in bed reading my Bible, and God spoke to me right where I was at and shook me up real big. I read Matthew chapter 10 verse 22, and it came out at me. And it said, if you acknowledge me before man, I'll acknowledge you before the Father. And not only that, he spoke to me and said, Emma, you're old enough to step out from underneath your parents' umbrella of faith. Are you for me or against me? Well, I leapt out of bed and I ran into my parents' room and I said, Mum, I have to be baptized. God just spoke to me right where I was at. And I knew, I said, I'm for you. When God says that, there's no way I'm going to not say anything else. I said, I'm for you, God. And so we spoke to the youth pastor, and I joined the baptism class, and was soon baptized one Sunday night here with seven. There were seven of us, and it was just, I just shared my need for a saviour. And I said, I was baptised, and then they prayed for the filling of the Holy Spirit, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and I was just weeping. The Lord was just cleansing me. I was 16 years old.
Wonderful.
And you know, I thought that I'd be perfect from then on. And I got quite a shock that I realised we need Jesus every day of our life.
Right, stop it. You're telling the whole sermon.
That's awesome. Emma, bless you. This is great. This is awesome. You can continue. It's fine. No, you can keep going. I'm just being cheeky. That is so good. Bless you. Anybody else? Fabulous.
I think there were certain times, but I really think that my relationship with God is a journey. And one memory that just came to mind being Easter is I grew up, my father was an Anglican minister, and even though he's retired, he really still is. But so I grew up knowing all about God and growing up in the faith. But I remember when I was about 6 years old, it was Easter, and I was bawling my eyes out, and I had no idea why. I was like, I'm just so sad. And my mum came and talked to me, and she said, why are you sad? And I said, I'm really sad because Jesus died. And I didn't understand it at all. And then it wasn't until maybe about 7 or 8 years later that I actually realised I was crying because Jesus died for me. And that's when I made a commitment for myself and decided that I wanted to follow Jesus and I wanted to have a relationship with God. That was my own relationship. And I'm still doing that. I'm still on that journey. It's still, part of that is still happening. And it's going to be happening until I die or Jesus comes back. And I'll be with him. But yeah, I just wanted to share that.
There's literally going to be nothing left for me to say. This is awesome. Anybody else want to give you the opportunity? Yeah, wonderful. They're coming. It's awesome. Great.
Oh, kia ora, everyone. I wasn't supposed to be here this morning, but I got into my car and there was no petrol. So I thought, oh, yeah, I know where the closest Baptist church is. And then it was good seeing fire here this morning. A verse that I received this morning was, let your light shine before men. And so having this opportunity has been awesome. I've been going through hard times in the last month, but you know, the Lord has brought me through, and like the other girl said, it is a journey. It's a journey between me and God, and so I feel blessed to be here this morning. Another word that I received yesterday was, do you go to church to bless others or to be blessed? And that was a question mark. So I just wanted to share that this morning, and so thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Kia ora. Thanks, sis. Bless you. Bonnie.
Cool. Hey, guys. Just thought I'll quickly share how I came to know Jesus. And so I was born in South Africa and raised in a Christian home. But I think, like a lot of young children, I kind of went astray. And I think by the age of 13 or 14, I got quite heavily involved in drugs. And that carried on through school until I was about, say, 20 or so. And cutting a long story short, but my mother invited me to church. And I remember going through and thinking, geez, I don't want to do this. What am I doing here? And I think from the time that we started worshipping, I just remember crying my eyes out and just God touching me just with the realization of just how real He is. And gave my life to God that Sunday. And I suppose just like you, just carried on. You know, I didn't become a perfect person. And I remember doing my thing every weekend and going to church on a Sunday and promising God I'll never do it again. And that went on for about a year. And then I think at that stage, everyone was talking about a relationship with God and having a relationship, and I thought, how do you do that? Like, how do you have a relationship with someone you can't see? So I remember praying that New Year's. I had just gone overboard again and thinking something has to change, and wrote God a letter and said, I'd love to have a relationship with you. I need to know what this means. And I know there's a whole lot of stuff in my life that needs to change. And I think it was about 2 weeks after I wrote that letter, I decided I need to join a home group and went through to a guy's home group. And just in that home group, while we were singing, one guy just stopped and said, "Ron, I just feel like God's wanting us to pray for you." So I said, "Okay, that's great." And I remember as they laid hands on me and started praying for me, the Holy Spirit just came down and it was a tangible experience as I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And just from that day, God was real to me. It was no longer just a story that I'd heard about in Sunday school or that my parents had told me about. The Bible had become alive to me. And I remember driving home from that thinking, jeepers, it's real. Like, I think from that day, pretty much I never took anything again. God just took all of that stuff away from me and just filled me with joy and a love for Him and a passion to serve Him. Yeah.
Bless you. Well, I'm gutted that I sent the kids out early. Well, when we'd planned, I wish they'd been able to be here for these stories. Perhaps this is something that we could make a habit of in our church, that if we regularly gave testimonies. So if you're sitting there thinking, man, I wish I'd taken that opportunity, there'll be more. Come ready to share your story. There's an amazing passage which I love. It says, we're saved by the blood of the Lamb and the testimonies of our mouth. In fact, somebody, you shared that passage about if you're faithful to confess me, then I'll confess you before the Father. You know, and I think this is something that we need to be doing. This is life-giving. In fact, it's one of the most life-giving parts of my spiritual walk is when I get to share who Christ is. It does something within my being. In fact, we see that with the story of Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman. He arrives there spent, hungry, physically hungry. And the disciples, he can pretty much go no further. He stays at the edge of the, outside the town, and the disciples go into the town, and then the lady comes along and he starts talking about who he is, and speaking about his divinity and all that he is, that he becomes sustained and reinvigorated. And the disciples come back bringing food, and he's like, "No, it's all good, I've eaten." because he'd been doing the will of the Father, and the Father sustains, the Father gives everything we need. And I know for me that's so true, that when I am walking in exactly where he asked me to stand, he sustains me. He sustains me. Well, the words that we have been reading, as I said before, were spoken to a man called Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a man who was seeking truth. Three different times we find Nicodemus mentioned in the Bible. It started in darkness. Nicodemus declaring his love for Christ at Easter, taking Jesus down off the cross and anointing him for burial. These words changed not only who Nicodemus thought Jesus was, they changed Nicodemus. In these words, Jesus shares the full mission of God. This mission of God that Jesus tells Nicodemus starts with a declaration of love. God's love for us. For you. A love that drove the God of the universe to empty himself of his divinity and come and live in our mess, fulfilling the song that Elaine Morissette sings, "What if God was one of us?" This is who God became. He did this to show us what the Father is like, full of grace. Not the grace that you might use to ascribe to a woman beautifully dancing across a stage. No. Not a far more gritty grace. A blood-soaked grace that empowered Jesus to remain on a cross as those around him beat and mocked him. That kind of grace. Undeserved grace extended to us by God himself, living, dying as a man. This grace exposes us, exposes me for who I really am. His perfection condemns me. His perfection condemns you. We didn't know what perfect was until Jesus showed up. We thought power and might were the tools of a magnificent God. What we came to see was that love, grace, suffering on our behalf were the embodiment of godliness. When we are surrounded by that kind of magnificence, our lack becomes apparent. In coming to earth, God revealed who we really are. Yet God has no desire to bring shame or dishonor to anyone. Rather, it is the negative conclusion due to the reality of truth. Let me explain it this way. When we allow light, the light of Christ, into our life, it inevitably shows that which is present. Shows the good and the bad. That is the nature of light. It shows the good and the bad. This leaves us with two options. We can continue to live in darkness, hiding our sin, hiding our brokenness, hiding our pain, or we can invite the light that is Christ into our very being, and with his power, face the damage that we have wrought upon ourselves and upon others. This is what happens when we invite Christ into our lives. Light, truth, goodness, and grace floods in, causing such a revelation of magnitude proportion that, like Nicodemus, we cannot stay the same. Now, I want to acknowledge that for some, you may be like Donald Trump and say, "I have nothing to be forgiven for. Could I be outrageous to say that if this is you, I think your spiritual eyes are operating in minimal lighting. You're seeing only that which can be seen when one lives in the shadows. But if you invite Christ in, you will see what lies, what really lies around you, what lies within you. Equally, if you've been walking with God for some time now, but have allowed your love for God to grow dim, and the joy has ebbed out of your life, turn up the volume of God's love. Spend more time in prayer. Write Him a letter. Become more aware of His presence. Allow a greater freedom to break into all areas of your life. We've heard some great testimonies today of people encountering Christ. I've shared before how worship has been a catalyst in my life for radical change. But you may be surprised what brings me to worship. It's not always because I'm in a feel-good mood, a happy, happy place. It often comes from a place of brokenness, where I become aware of an area in my life that God is shining a light on. Sometimes it grows out of a place in this awareness of areas that still need to be destroyed by God. Areas where light needs to come in and shatter those areas of hardness, that sinful nature. You see, as the Holy Spirit brings my attention to areas in my life that need God, it breaks my heart. And the response has to be confession. This is why Jesus died on the cross. And it's why He told us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive. It's this promise of forgiveness that turns my tears of shame into tears of joy. You see, we live on that side of the cross, where our sins are washed away. We're not stuck in the old system where once a year we had to come to God and have our sins washed. Now, I can do it on a daily basis, on a moment-by-moment basis, as I walk in personal relationship with Christ, responding to the Holy Spirit's prompting. Lyndon, I want to bring freedom in this area of your life. I don't know how your journey into faith has fared. Maybe it's been a rocky one, one where you feel judged and condemned. If this is how I have presented the good news of Christ, I'm sorry. If you think Christians are telling you that you are sinful and as a result unloved by God, if this is what you have heard from the church, then one of two things are happening. Either we as the church suck at communication, that's quite possible. We've misrepresented what it is to be a Christian. And if this is the case, I am sorry. Sorry for not speaking clearly about the goodness and grace of God. Or perhaps your unease, your uncomfortableness when you're around a Christian. Perhaps that unease was because God was speaking and you didn't want to hear. You didn't want to hear that He wanted to give you freedom. That He wanted to change you. To radically change you. To transform you. Not into the person you think might be, oh, you're pretty good. But rather transform you into the likeness of Christ. a person full of bold love, able to suffer incredible pain for the sake of someone else, being set free from addiction, free from anger, free from greed, from self-righteousness. Someone who deeply, madly loves the unlovable. That's what Christianity is at the heart. The invitation to allow light to break into our tombs and make this impossibility of change in us a reality. And it requires, it seriously requires the same power that broke Christ out of his tomb. It requires the full light of Christ. As I shared earlier, it's when, having been moved by the prompting of the Holy Spirit to confess my sin, the Holy Spirit moves me to worship. This is the fulfillment of Easter Sunday, living in the light and life of Christ, where we do things no longer in our own strength, but rather from Christ's strength, his love, his grace, his sacrifice. Living in this way empowered and emboldens us to live a radical life. The same Spirit that moved us to confession through to worship, that empowers and emboldens me to action, to love in the way Jesus would, that can only be sustained if we are filled with his light. However, our reality, my reality, is that this light has yet got many fissures in my rock to make its way into. I'm not able to say that I love as deeply and freely as Christ does. But thankfully, he is still shining his torch into those places one at a time. And slowly, oh so slowly, I'm allowing him to set me free. So that one day too, I can love like Christ loves. Again, I don't know where you are on your journey into knowing Christ and having him change you. What I do know is that he wants to change you, to bring his light into every area of your life, setting you free. That is why for over 2,000 years, the church has gathered around a table. And it's eaten and drunken these incredibly normal everyday things that tell an incredible unnormal story. It's a celebration meal. A celebration of light over darkness. Bloody, love-strengthened, sacrificial grace. Given freely for you and for me. So today I want to invite you to come to the table. Come and confess those things that the Holy Spirit might be whispering to you. Don't let sin prevent you from coming. This is the sinner's table. It's here where sinners like me come to be cleaned, knowing that he will forgive. Then after taking it, turn that weeping into singing. Your spirit of heaviness, God will transform into a garment of praise. So let's celebrate what Christ has done. It's Easter Sunday. He has risen. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up first. Jason, Nikki, May. the blood of Christ poured out for you. Same way, he took the bread and he broke it. He said, whenever you gather together, eat this. Remember what I've done for you. And so this is going to be here for all of us. Jason and the team are just going to sing a song. I invite you, take your time. There's some in the back corner over there, and there's some there. When you're ready, come, and as an act of confession, as an act of worship, come and eat, come and drink. Remember what Christ has done for you, what he has done for me. I'll be here at the front, and if anybody wants to be able to somebody to pray with them, please feel free. After this song, we'll just move we'll move directly into worship, and Jason will facilitate that. So please take your time, enjoy the next little while.